Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Bless His holy name. As you know, we do this every quarter. So the next one is going to be in the month of June, the Dominion Prayers for the whole month. As Christians, we pray. Now that we have a strategy, by June, we should be able to start consolidating on progress. And prayer is part of the key. We do not do the work alone. We work with angels. And it is in the place of prayer that they receive instructions from us. And it is in the place of prayer that they also give us instructions from the Lord. So when we don't pray, we don't get to gather. And in Zion, it is not just Christians that gather. Ministering spirits gather with us. The spirit of the church of the firstborn gather with us. The spirit of just made perfect gather with us. Ministry spirits, angels, the noble company of angels gather with us. The blood of sprinkling. All the entities of Zion, when we gather with us. So those who see us with ordinary eyes will see men gathering. You know, I've seen some Christians, when they want to do a program, they will say, where men gather. Every time I see such caption, I will shake my head. They do not understand. It is never men gathering. When we gather, it is never men. When we call a meeting, we call a meeting of the seven levels of realms. Even though we see ourselves physically, we do not manifest as men. Manifest all the seven from thrones downward to angels, to archangels, to the cherubs, to the seraphs, to the firmament and the clouds, to the stars. Everyone gathered together with us in every meeting we do. Otherwise, it will not be Zion. It will just be a social meeting. We could have, I should call it the Kedah Social Club. I sit down and doing club. That is where men gather. When you talk about clubs, when you talk about social clubs, our unique club, that is men gathering. Even when they pray there and they say, God, gather with us, they are lying. God is not going to gather with them. Their meeting is a meeting of men. When men gather, when the elders of the city gate gather, they are making a meeting of this and that. Even in Israel, men are gathering. But when we go supernatural, men do not gather. Zion is gathering the constellation of the stars of Zion. Is gathering. Oh, glory. I'm going to speak today on the topic securing the future. Yesterday, I spoke about understanding the times, and I felt it is only necessary that today I begin to share with us how to do this, how to take control of tomorrow. It is not only good, because sometimes people will look at it and they will despair. They'll be like, let Jesus come. Let Jesus come quickly. They said AI is going to take over. There'll be no job, there'll be no work, everybody will be hungry. Let Jesus come now, you know. And yet, the Savior will come, but the time of his coming is not now. I said so now. You cannot hear the trumpet today. It will not be today. All the things that he wanted us to achieve, religion did not allow us to achieve it. All your big deals that had become team gods over churches, that did not allow their members to become as Christ, that every member will go to them and kneel down and be collecting instruction from them. They are the problem. It is not. I'm saying it to you. I want you to open your mind and listen to me. So just imagine that you are saying to children that, all my children will run 100 meters, right? And you say, bring your children. I want to train them to 100 meters race. I want to train them to 100 meters race. And then the mother came, has a son that is as tall as her, that can run. And then the mother said, no, I don't want my son to be injured. I will back him. I will put him on my back. I will be the one to run the race, but he will be on my back. That boy cannot prepare for a race. Why? Because the mother is backpedaling. Same thing. When you see people writing WAEC, you see some parents paying outsiders to write WAEC for their children. You see, they have a child who want to be trained so he can stand on his own and fulfill destiny. And yet, they didn't allow the child to stand and fulfill destiny. They would take money. They would try. They would do this, do that. They are not helping the destiny, but they do not know how to be parents. They do not know how to allow the child to fulfill destiny. So while they are living their own lives, they are also trying to live a pseudo life through their child. And as a result of that, that child will not fulfill destiny, will never be prepared. That is what is happening with the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus has given us a church. Pastors are refusing to let their members fly. Say, I'm your covering. And you must come to me. I will pray for you. It is when I pray for you, God will answer your prayer. Don't pray. Why are you praying? When I'm here, just send me the name. I will pray for you. You send me money. That is my own job. Your own job is to. I've seen so many people do spiritual things in Christendom. A lot of church members, they don't even allow them to speak in tongues. Those that speak in tongues, they don't allow them to manifest the Spirit. And these are the things that Christ said we must become. We must become like Him, as He is. How can you be as He is when you are still a laptop pastor? You want to travel, you have to call pastor. Is the road clear? You want to marry pastor? I have three names. That's the world we live in. And as a result of that, we are the ones delaying the coming of Christ. It is my duty as a teacher of the things of the Spirit to say this with my mouth, say it anywhere, so that everybody can hear, so that they can know why and they can begin to change. Pastors cannot be seen gods over the church. They are making the age of Christ look like the age of men, as if we have gone back to the days of Nimrod. Great men of old. We now have great men of now. So when you mention the Christian churches, all you remember is name. Name synonymous with their denomination. You see the problem. When I mention a church, you just remember the name of the GO, Palm. When I mention the church, remember the name of the GO, Palm. I mention another church. Remember, every church has a great man, you see, that is set on it that all of us know. That is not how the church was meant to be. The church was meant to be a church of saints, where all the saints are manifesting Christ, and through the power of Christ, they are spreading the gospel. And that is the way the gospel spread. In the first church, that was how the church in Jerusalem first, the early church, and that was how it spread into Europe. It didn't spread into Europe because they had a formidable general overseer. No, they were slaves. And yet they took over the quarters and they took over the cities and they took over everywhere by the power of the Holy Spirit because they were doing it the right way. Until men began to circumvent the vision to become great at the expense of Christ. So we are going today to talk about you securing your future in Christ. And it is important that you note my criticism is very, I don't want a lot to criticize churches. I defend pastors. Or defend them anywhere. No outsiders can talk against pastors. All of them belong to God. I don't know when I criticize pastors, I do it deliberately because I think when they hear me, they understand that I love them and they love me, but that they can do better. But any other person cannot. You cannot talk. If you talk about them, I'm going to come for you. I will defend my household. I will defend them to a T. I'm just saying so that you understand how my mind works. If somebody writes about them on social media, I'll be the first person to defend them. They are members of my family. You cannot talk to them. The outsiders cannot talk to them, but I can talk to my brothers and sisters, and we can all begin to adjust and let the eagles fly. The eagles in our care, we let them fly. So how do you secure your future? How do you make it work? So here's where we are going. I've talked in the past few days about identifying your purpose. I've spoken about being disciplined in the course of the last 26 days. I've spoken about being disciplined. I've spoken on other topics that I believe if you add them together, they would seriously help you. However, a lot of us have purpose that God has set for us to fulfill. We have our dreams. The thing that God has set in your hearts to do, you have them. When I talk to many Christians, some of them will bring this thing, they will write it in a paper. They will bring, maybe they want to win a contract. That's not your purpose, but that's just for money. We're not going to confuse purpose and money. Money and purpose are not the same thing. A man can be rich and be rich without purpose. A man who is truly wealthy is a man that has purpose and also has the means to educate the purpose. See? Does that you have money? Some people say, I have money, just sitting in my account. I don't want to deal with it. That man is poor. A man who has money but doesn't know what to do with it is a poor man. He's not a rich man. A man who has purpose but has no money is also a poor man. He's not a rich man. Now, if a man who has purpose begins to do the right thing, if you begin to do the right thing, as I'm going to teach today, you will notice that the man, those with money who do not have purpose, they will begin to look for you. This is how God has ordained it. The Bible says that when the children of Apostle Paul was in Europe praying, ministering, that suddenly he saw a man dressed in a certain way. And the man appeared to him, and the man said, "Please come, 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 come and help us. Come and help us. Till tomorrow, you'll hear them talk about Macedonian call." The man dressed like a Macedonian. Look at the two, this example. Apostle Paul had the message. He just needed a destination to go. This man from Macedonia, who has heard the gospel somewhere, he's not an angel. He was praying, he was in his heart, saying that, "God, this gospel I've heard, I want people in my community to hear it." And then say, "God, please send laborers to this place. Let them come, let them hear the gospel." And then the two of them met at a realm that is not physical. They met in the realm of the metaphysical. Apostle Paul with a hunger in his heart to preach, and the Macedonian man with a hunger in his heart to bring the gospel, to bring the light to his community. They didn't write a letter to each other. Apostle Paul came out of division and said, "We are going to Macedonia." He said, "Why?" He said, "I saw a man dressed in a Macedonian way who said I should come for the help." That's how they met. That's scripture. I'm showing you scripture. I want you to understand how spiritual things work. If you understand how spiritual things work, and if you begin to work in it, I promise you, you will change the trajectory of your story. You will change it. The Bible said there was a man called Peter. He was in the house of Simon the Tanner. He was a born-again apostle. Simon the Tanner was a believer. They were friends. When he heard Simon the Tanner, the job of Simon was a tanner. He was used animal skin to put animal skin out, and they will use it to do leather later. That was his job. Paul, Peter went to visit him. Peter was hungry in the afternoon. And Peter said, "Oh, I need to eat." They said, "Oh, we are paying your food." Peter said, "Okay, let me just go up the roof and relax." He went up the roof. He sat down. Just then, he saw a vision. A man called Cornelius. In another city, a rich man, a centurion in the army called Cornelius from another town, had been praying in the Jewish way, not even in the born again way, with a heart that is true to God. He was praying to the God of Israel. The Bible said an angel appeared to him. You see, look at the difference between the first example I gave you and the second one. The reason an angel appeared here was because this man was not born again, this Cornelius. He wasn't born again. He did not have the regenerated spirit. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. The Macedonian man was born again. He was somebody that was converted. He was born again. He was praying. And so he could project the spirit. Because he was praying, he could project the spirit to another believer. But Cornelius was not born again yet, so he couldn't project the spirit. A born again, when a born again Christian is full of the Holy Spirit and he begins to pray, negotiations begin to take place in another realm where this person by himself in the place of prayer would project. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm backing up with scripture. You will hear somebody say, "Ha, my heart just went through." You will say, "I just saw you." Somebody will say, "But I mean, God, I just saw you. I just saw you in my room." And I ask, "Ah, Lord, why did you say, why is Brian in my room? Why is Brian in my room?" And the Lord said, "Oh, Brenda is doing a project. I want you to support it." The person will write to me, "But I mean, God, you don't know me. I'm a Christian from Massachusetts. I've been here, I'm a pastor. I was praying, and suddenly I saw you. I said, I know this place, I know this place, but I couldn't place it. I just saw you in my room. You were standing, you were looking at me. I was like, ah, why is this person in my room?" It was so vivid. Then I went to Google. I went, I said, who is this person? I saw him on Twitter somewhere. Then I saw that it was you. Then I'm writing to you, Brother Benga. I said to the Lord, I said, why are you showing me Brother Benga? And the Lord said, oh, that there's a project you are doing that I should support it. I'm sharing with you based on my own experience and based on scripture how needs are met in Zion. The reason angel appeared in the case of Cornelius was because Cornelius was not a born-again Christian. So he could not project the spirit. He needed a second help. He needed help. So the angel of the Lord came to him, and the angel said, "Cornelius, fret not." I'm quoting Acts chapter 10 for those who don't know. "Cornelius, fret not. Fret not. The way you are praying is the old way. Don't pray that way again. That's why your prayer is entering voicemail. Somebody will come, and the person will come and minister to you, will come and give you, will come and teach you, will come and bring you into the light." So Cornelius was not a poor man. All the days of his life, he supported that gospel with everything. Why? Because God knows how to bring resources to purpose. God knows how to add, to join resources to purpose. When you don't have a purpose as a Christian, you are just praying for money. You need money to eat, money to drink. I've shared with us before, you don't need to pray. You don't need to pray for that. But when I see pastors who are praying, "Father, bless me, give me money," I say, this is a waste of time. Nobody has ever prayed their way into wealth before. It is a waste of time. And the reason it's a waste of time is because you have been given the power to work so that you can make money to eat. There is no need to pray your way to food. Work out of the sweat of your brow. That was what a laboring man was told. So if you want to be a laboring man, go and work. Then you eat out of the sweat of your brow. Go and be a laboring man. That's an option under either. Somebody can be in a damn nature and go and labor and make money and buy food and eat. In fact, you have to see that a man that does not work should not eat. And this is a New Testament concept. So somebody should not sit down and pray, "Father, Father, hey, 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 school fees, go and work. Father, house rent, go and work. Father, food, work, work." The answer is work. Go and get a job. Stop lazing around and work. However, there is nobody that can labor to fulfill God's purpose. There is no amount of work you can do that you can ever fulfill God's purpose in the flesh. The supply for God's purpose has to come by the Spirit. So I hope you understand what I just said. God has told you Oh, you are going to be a global fashion icon. You know it in your heart. You will be sleeping. You will see design of clothes, different design. They will come to you. You will see angels in their array, in different color, not men, angels. You will see them. Your mind is registering what they are wearing. Oh my God. See the cape. Oh, see the you, your mind is always there. When you are praying, you will hear music. Cha-cha-cha. Music is coming into your soul. Music is coming. You know that, my purpose, I should be, this song should be a blessing to the world. God wants me to release this song to the world. Oh, God wants me to design these clothes. You'll be writing. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit will take you over. You see yourself writing film script, movie scripts, inspiring movie scripts. You'll see yourself writing, drawing, engineering devices. You see yourself drafting, drawing. You see it just comes to you by the Spirit. All these things you already know. Okay. God is giving me these desires. I'm receiving these desires. And then you put it down. You begin to draw it down. And then a lot of people will then draw them down. And people will come to me to say, but I have 8 jotters full of inventions, but there is I've never had a sponsor or an investor. I put my hand on my head. I'll be looking at the person. Ha! Hey, may we not lack wisdom. May we not lack wisdom. May we not be lazy. Some people are lazy. Yeah, some Christians, they are lazy. They have the gift of God, and the flow of the Spirit to them comes freely. But you see, the ability to then convert purpose to join supply to purpose, to bring resources to purpose, they do not have it. They want to do it through the flesh. They will carry briefcase, they run after bank, they want to collect loan, and then those ones will not give them because that was not the biblical way. The biblical way, we saw it in scripture clearly written that a man that God has shown his purpose knows that what he then needs is an allocation, a supernatural allocation of resources to back up that purpose. That's it. So what does that man do? He will call forth resources. That's why they call it Macedonian call. That's how the angel went to Peter to call him. Say, Peter, come to Cornelius. There is something we call. That call is from your mouth. When we say, begin to draw attention to the work of God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The song you've given me yesterday, by that time you've written the song down. After writing it down, you've done the toilet so far. You've called somebody. I heard this song. You fight through the song is now fine. The song is now good. Now begin to say, Father, this song, in the name of Jesus, I declare you are not going to be on paper. You are moving into the ears of men and the heart of men. You are transforming souls. I release anointing unto you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Once you've done that, and that is done, you've done it, you've comforted the resources you need. The next thing is to book a studio session. When you get to the studio, there are talents that when they get to a studio, the studio manager does not collect money from them anymore. He will just look at them and say, ah, when this boy hits, my life is, it is best for me. Once people hear this song, there are some songs. When people hear them, they don't think money. They begin to cry. They begin to call their instrumentalists for themselves. Come, there's a song. Ah, come and play. Come and play. Don't worry. This song is a sure hit. We know that this song will go far. When all of us heard in Christ alone, the first time I heard it, well, first time, not 10 times, I heard it the first time, I knew that, oh my God, this song is playing all over the world. There is no argument in my spirit. I just heard it one time, not two times. No, there are some songs, they grow on you, but there are some songs, when you hear them one time, the first time you hear them like this, you will know that this song is not, it's divinely inspired. When I heard along to the hour, okay, bang, one time, the person that sang it one time, the song did not leave my head. did not need the head of everybody. When I was driving through the street on a Tuesday, when there was a Bible study in all the churches in my area, I had Bible study, all the churches of the same denomination on Tuesday. Almost every church was singing it in that season. Why? Because that song is divine, inspired. When you hear some songs, you know that it is divine. There are some movies or some books. When you read them for the first time, you recommend them to look at yourself. You tell people, have you read this book? They say, it's a classic. It's a classic. It's the heart of God. It is not about money. It's not about money. There are some, I was watching a particular documentary of a preacher. He wrote a book. When he finished the book, he wrote the book in 2 weeks. When he finished the book, he put the manuscript together, put the name of the publisher of a book publisher, put the manuscript in an envelope and sent it to the book publisher. Of course, because he just wants to see manuscripts every day, right? And so they just threw it aside. So the man did not reply in 2 days. So he went to the man's office. He sat down. Eventually, the man came to the office, looked at the man, he greeted the man, said, did you see the manuscript? I said, man said, no. We are not taking manuscript now. He turned to the man and said, if you read my manuscript, if you open page one of my manuscript and you begin to read and you drop it, if you drop it to take coffee or you drop it to take water, then I will collect my manuscript and leave. But if you do not drop it, then you publish it. The man said, you're so sure of yourself. Okay, come, let me see. The man opened the manuscript from page one to the end. The man did not drop it. When you have something that is sure, when you have purpose in your heart, you are not shaking. You are not. A lot of people, you they say, I have an idea. No. Purpose is not an idea. Purpose is not an idea. At all. I'm not an idea smart ass. I know the quickening power of God. When God has set your feet on a path, I'm telling you, supply is not a problem. That book, and everybody wants to give it the title, that book went around the world. Not only that, they began to form groups to read it. Next thing, they began. Well, if you see purpose driven life today, the Inquirer wrote it, the book took the world by the storm. Nobody knew Inquirer from anywhere. He was just a young preacher. He was not a global evangelist. He was not a global anything. He wrote one book, published it. He became too rich. He began to say, I didn't want to do the money. They began to do people of that book, study group of that book. They studied it even in Nigeria. You have Baptist Church had a group where they were studying purpose driven life. After that, they followed it to purpose driven church. I have those books in my bookshelf. I bought them with my money. I bought all over the world. It was a global bestseller. Why? Because it was purpose. See, and he wouldn't have to beg for supply. He didn't sell his house to publish the book. When you touch something from above, you will know that the Bible said that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who has a field, who has a field with treasure inside of it. He said when the man discovered the treasure, the man sold everything to buy the field. That's when people find purpose, they throw everything away to buy it. That's the truth. You cannot see something good. You will not even be thinking, how do we produce it? It will take you over. It will take you over. I can tell you, you will hear a song like this. You will not be asking the singer, hey, what are you going to pay for a studio session? You will be saying, hey, let's do a contract. When this song beats 1 million copies, I just want 1% of this song. Well, you are not talking about studio session again. You'll be saying, let me pay for the studio session. I will pay for this. I'll because you know that song is going all over the world. So you will quickly be investing in it, and you will not be the person will bring the song. But when you see mediocre stuff, they will not tell you studio session is 1 million. They know that the song will not sell. They are just saying. They're just using you to kill time. When they see the real thing, nobody will charge anybody who as we sip the real thing for studio session. My first, I spent hours and hours and hours in studios. I've never been charged the cover to speak in any radio station. We have a radio station in Ibadan. We have another one in Lagos. Both of them said, come. Anytime you want to come. I'm the one that said, I don't have time. That's the truth. In fact, I told one group that they should go, one of our groups, that they should be sending somebody to speak there. The man said, no, it's you he wants. It's you. The man would publish JSW, stories of JSW, he will publish them, he will put them on Facebook, put them on Twitter, he will say, this man, when he's coming, he will come one day. Because in the early days, I used to speak at this radio station every Saturday. And the crowd that will come to that radio station, they've never seen that kind of crowd before. Every time I'm on air, he said that is their peak. Everybody will tune in to listen. To hear me speak, everybody will tune in. But that was in the early days, 2019, when we were just starting out. So that was an opportunity for me to share the gospel. But the work became more and more to the point where I didn't have the time anymore. I didn't have time anymore. It used to be every Saturday that time, 4 p.m. to, they gave me 2 hour slots, 4 to 6 p.m. And every time, David, I would tune in with over 100,000. That was the time they make all their money. Somebody like that cannot charge me. But other people that will come, they will charge them. They will say, you have to pay for student session. You have to pay for this. You have to pay for... People are putting that on my program. And I was doing it for free. Why? Because it is original. The voice of God, nobody will... Purpose. Discover purpose. And then the money aspect is not an issue. I hope you understand that. What you need to discover, to lay your hand upon, is purpose. It's purpose. When you have unique designs and you have them drawn out, nobody, when they see your design, they'll be like, okay, we want to pay for your catalog. We want to pay. You see international collaborations. You will see yourself having people saying, oh, we supply the fabric. So I've seen these things. Not that I was told. I've seen destinies transformed, and there are not stories of other people. There are stories of people within our ministry. By the grace of God, I like to build great destinies. I like to delight in the fulfillment of the word of God in the life of his children within the church. Within the church. So it's always a painful thing to see people saying that Christians are stealing their sound, they are stealing their music, they are copying songs from Naira Marley, songs from unbelievers, they are twisting the word into gospel. They are saying, for all those times who told by me, they are calling that gospel. It's a shame that those who are of Zion, because they want to make a quick buck, they are collecting inspiration that is not of God. They know that everything in this world is born of an inspiration, either it's of God or not. A lot of songs in this world are not from God. Insisting that you have to copy them shows that you lack depth in the things of your father. You do not know your father very well. But it's time to know your father. So secure your future, secure your purpose. When you secure purpose, the funding will come. Oh, God. If you understand me so far, when I see feedback, can I see your hand? One or two? So I can go on. All right. Thank you. So that is very important. That is very important. Oh. Now, once the purpose is established, the second thing is that you cannot be quiet. See, every inspired idea of God is a living thing. The Bible said that nothing in heaven is dead. Jesus said it, not only the Bible. Jesus, he said everything in heaven is living. It's living, it's alive. He said, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. That was why he said, Abraham, before Abraham, I was. That was why he didn't say, I am. He didn't say, I was. He said, because God is not the God of the dead. God is the God of the living. So Abraham is not dead. Everything in heaven is alive. So if an idea came to you, if your purpose came to you from God, that purpose is a living thing. Did you hear me? Say it. Say it. Say it. Please. Umami. The purpose I received from God is a living thing. Please say it. Thank you. Again, he said, the purpose I received from God is a living thing. So because it's a living thing, you must talk to it. You must talk to it. Jesus Christ. You must talk to it. You must talk to it like a living entity. You see how God addresses Israel in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, he said, oh, Israel. Israel is a place in the Bible. Go and read your Bible. God is always saying, oh, Israel, that nation, oh, Israel, God will be talking to Israel because Israel is a living thing. God does not treat his word as dead. It was the one that called forth Israel in the book of Genesis 35. He said, your name shall be Israel. He told Jacob, he said, your name shall be Israel. The angel of the Lord will go before you. So Israel is a living thing. So you see that throughout the scriptures, God is always talking to Israel. Oh Israel, God will say, you are my baby girl. You are my fine girl. I saw you. I saw you in your blood. I took you. I washed you. In the book of Isaiah, I washed you. I gave you new clothes. I gave you fine clothes, girl. I gave you this. You became a fine girl. You now began to chase other boys. I'm not your father. God will be talking to Israel like that. You started a business. You are complaining. Business is not moving. If I catch you say things like that again. You see now, I've poured out myself for 26 days teaching you the strategies of the kingdom. So I have the right to be chasing you in your dream. If you see me chasing you, it is because you are not utilizing the thing I'm teaching. And I do not like to waste my fundamental kingdom right or my fundamental kingdom time. I don't like to waste it. You must, when people are saying, Nigeria is corrupt, I don't say it. I don't say it. My words to my nation are coming to pass. See, people have been complaining about Nigeria since 1920 something. When I came into the reality of the kingdom, I began to speak to my nation. While I live in this nation shall prosper. This nation, your doors will be open. This nation, things will work. Oh, things will work. I will not, because 99% of people are naysayers. I will join them. I will not. Because the Bible says, pray for the prosperity of Jerusalem. He said, those who do so shall prosper. Did you see? He didn't say all of us. He said, those who do. That means if I do so, I will prosper. Oh my God, I prospered in this country. When I touch anything, it turns to gold. It is the truth. It is the truth. It is the absolute truth. Because when I learned the strategy of the kingdom, that when I begin to speak to living things, they will live. Those who call it dead, it will be dead for them. But those who call it living, it will live for them. And you must tell a living thing the direction it must go. When you have a baby, you say, don't go there. Don't go there. This is where to go. That's how you talk to your business. When I look at some of my, let's say, investments, and they say, oh, the federal government did the policy. No. We are building a project. Suddenly they said, oh, the cost of dollars has gone times from maybe 800, it has gone to 1,000 something. And suddenly they said, oh, I just received a message. Ah, everything is going up. We have to buy now. We have to buy electrical wiring. We have to buy window. We have to, and you are giving me, no, we are building at a steady pace. Maybe every week we spend like 6, 7 million per week. Suddenly they gave me in 1 week, they said I should go and spend about 50 million. I think they gave me the bill for the windows, 20 something million. Bills for wiring, 3 million. Bills for, and they said, you have to buy it this week. Otherwise, by next week, they will have to adjust their price to the 1,003 and the prices will go times three. And they gave me all that. And I was like, okay, what is it? And then I said, how much are they selling this thing? They told me, the Coma wires has increased the number. I said, no. This is the price it will be. Where I go, I'm telling you. Do you know? We went to the country, they went to the office, the main office of Coma Wires. At they came to the one at Oyo, the one in Lagos, and adjusted their price to adjust to the new dollar rate. We bought everything they had in their Oyo office. We cleared them out. By the time we paid, we finished paying. We are packing. That was when the information came to Coma Wires and all that. Price has changed, and we have finished packing. We bought everything they had at the price I wanted to buy. This happened not years ago. This happened maybe last year when the dollar, whatever, went up, when they removed the subsidy. Everybody was laughing because it was. We went to the one at Shagam, their main office. They said, oh, this is the price now. They've adjusted the price to suit the new dollar rate. And I said, no, I'm not buying at that price. That was in my budget. Oh, yeah. Where's the next one? They said, oh, yeah. I said, good day. That is the price you meet it. We bought everything. They cleared it out. After they cleared it, put it in the truck. Then the lady came and said, ha, hey, you're lucky. They just sent us the updated price list. And we knew beforehand that there was an updated price list. What I was saying, because I will speak to things. I will not keep quiet over the project God has given unto me. I will not keep quiet over my song. You sang a song. It's a unique song from God. You will tell it. Go around the world. Ha! Was it not Shola Alison that sang, oh, me I carry aye? Oh, me I carry aye? She was speaking to her song. That has, she said her voice will go all over the world. She was prophesying, speaking life into her own talent. That my voice, he said, at the sound of my voice, yes, we are wrong. Like, they want to hear me. It is the principle that you must speak to purpose. You must not let your purpose die. Hey, hi, yeah, yeah, keep on the other. Hey, you must see things as God sees them. You must see things as God sees them. You must, hey, God does not abandon. Everything in heaven is living. Everything that comes from heaven is living. You are from heaven, therefore you have eternal life, therefore you live forever. Everything that is of heaven can never die, including purpose, including instructions. So God said, start a fellowship, started. Tell people I'm in it. You are saying, but I mean, God, I've tried this strategy. I've tried that strategy. We were giving out food. We were doing free medical outreach. In fact, I got to a point, I carried my megaphone. I was going to the market. Number is not increasing. I'll just be looking at you. You will speak to it. This February, when the month of February started, I announced to our ministers, I said, I'll go on Twitter for this month. I'll be on Twitter for several hours. I will engage. I will write. I will intensify most of my effort there. I will work on Twitter this month. Apart from the prayer we are doing, while I'm praying, that's what I'll be doing. And I've deliberately done that. My Twitter space became chaotic. With all forms of messages, there. And then the followership went to papa, papa, papa. It was deliberate. I told them, I said, I just want to increase the number of my followers. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pay anybody to do it. When I engage by the Spirit, the numbers will go up. I want this generation, the coming generation, to know who I am. Because it seems, because there's a lag in generations. It's the old ones, the elderly ones, and the 40s and the 30s moment. But I don't know much about the 20s and the. So I said it's time for me to meet the ones that are 20. So I met them. Those who are undergraduates, who are still in school, they came into my DM. Those who are just fresh graduates, they came from Bowen, from OAU, they came from everywhere. They were coming. And that is what it means to speak to purpose. And before I get there, I'll say today, I want to meet so demographic. I'll go and check the analytics. I'll say people from the USA, age, what have you today? Okay. People from Nigeria, okay. This is the demographic I want to meet today. I will then speak. And when I speak, I leave my hands on my laptop and then I begin to work. And they will find their way to me. They must. For deep connect unto deep, I am a magnet for souls. They must search for me. I will speak it forth, then they will do it. You must speak to purpose. Don't be quiet. Don't be one of those who just be praying. No, some people they pray. They pray prayers that makes absolutely no sense, and they don't know it. They pray prayers that make absolutely no sense, and they don't know it. Some people will say, "Father, Father, bless my business." You speak to the business. That kind of business, that kind of prayer. How does that make any sense? He gave you a business, it's already blessed. They are not going to ask you to bless it again. Everything you leave your hands on shall prosper. That is what the Bible says. So there is no need. His blessing did not leave. The consciousness of God in the blessing, you have to impute it deliberately. You have to impute it. You have to speak to it. You have to expand it. When I noticed that in one area, our number as, what do they call it? We reach a point of diminishing return. In number, I will open another one. I will start from zero again, and then we'll go up, and then I'll open another one. I do it deliberately. I do it because sometimes the number saturates by itself. You get to a point, the number doesn't go up anymore. It has reached its capacity. Then you will not sit down with it and not expand. No, because you are ever expanding. Did you know that the universe you are living in is ever expanding? Go and read it. Everything God made is ever expanding. God is making more room every day in the universe so that you can also make more room every day in your business. You cannot be stagnant. How can you be stagnant? The earth is a living thing. It is expanding daily. Go and check. Go and check. The earth will be smaller than this. The more we are expanding, the more the earth is expanding. It is the way of God. God does not. God has built a living thing that is also growing. The earth is growing. The land is growing. Water is growing. Everything is expanding. So you must see things the way God sees them. You must expand your business. You must expand your purpose. You must expand it. You must speak to it. You cannot be stagnant. I cannot imagine it. That I'll just stay in one spot and tell myself, congratulations. You have 300 members or 200 members. No, no, no. There has to be more. There has to be more. There is always more in God. And you must never settle for less. Once you have one sewing machine, there's nothing that stops you from having 300 sewing machines. There's nothing that stops you from having 3,000 sewing machines. There's nothing that stops you from having 3,000 outlets all over the world. Once you have one eatery, there's nothing that stops you from having 30. There's nothing that stops you from having 300 outlets all over the world. I go to airports, I'll shake my head. I've not seen one airport with a Nigerian restaurant. I complain about it all the time. I said, how can the Chinese have restaurants? There's nobody as sweet as Nigerians are, as good as our food is. There's nobody that has said that, okay, I just want to take over international airports and have an outlet for Nigerian dishes, Nigerian African dishes, and let it be real. Let people come in and eat it. No. When we go there, we eat burger, we eat all these things. I say, hey, Nigeria is rich, and I know Nigeria is rich. But again, people, oh my. The Lord is gracious and kind. You are rich, Nigeria. You are blessed. Those listening to me are blessed. Your hands are blessed. Your thoughts, your imaginations are blessed. Yeah, there is supply for your purpose. There is supply for your purpose. Ooh. So that is the second thing you do. Number three, you must continually strive to add value. You must be deliberate about it. What you are making may not be what a community needs. But you must deliberately strive to add value. You might be a fashion designer, you might be into fashion, but you come to a community and you see that they don't have water and you have the resources. You must make water available. You take it, you put borehole there, and then you put your brand there, donated by. You must do that. See, it is a way that God uses to water you. To make sure that you fill up the voids of the earth. Continually seek to add value. Yesterday I talked about it. Continually seek to add value. Look at it. Who can I collaborate with? Who can I work with? Some people are always looking at the quick box money. I just shake my head. See, money in itself is just, it's an illusion. All of us know it. It is not just a number on your phone or your app. Before, it used to be paper now that we used to carry. Now, most of us know it's just a number on the app. When you press the number, it will go out. Then another person will press number, it will come in. So now it is even easier to make money. It's easier. It's just a matter of numbers passing through frequency, passing through the network into your address. You have an address. Your address is your account number. And then money is transferred. Numbers are moved. And they are moved electronically in the air. They are moved through network, which is the domain of the spirit. You don't see it that way. I see it that way all the time. We are the owners of the power of the air. We are the owners of the, we have the superior communication gadget and control over networks and systems. We have it. However, if you do not add value, you are going to become a rich fool. The Bible recorded two or three people that are rich fools. Jesus Christ mentioned a rich fool. He said the rich fool had a barn, had a farm, had a huge harvest, and then said, "My soul, eat, drink, and make merry." And then he died that day. Then the Bible talked about Nabal. Bible said Nabal was a very rich man, the husband of Abigail, but he was a fool. It's there in the Bible. Somebody can be a rich fool. A rich fool is a man that is rich but has no purpose. But look at Barzillai the Gileadite. In the days of David, pay attention, no? This guy was living in Gilead. Gilead. He was rich. He was 80 years old and he was very rich in Gilead. He was not close to Jerusalem at all. David was in Jerusalem. David got into problem, in trouble with Absalom. So David was running. He was running towards the Jordan so that he could cross the Jordan to the other side. But he left the palace with nothing, with nothing. And as it was coming, the news was spread that the king was running away from Absalom, that they have overthrown the king's government, and the king was running away. Some people are laughing. The Bible said Hushai laughed. He laughed at David. He saw him, he mocked him because he was not a wise person. The Bible said Barzillai heard it. Barzillai called horses, chariots. He began to load burdens, loaded food, pots. Loaded everything, supply after supply. He loaded, he bought out the whole market. He met David at Jordan. David was coming. David saw Barzillai. He had never met the man before. The man greeted the king. The man said, "Everything you need, I provided." Ah, this guy brought value. Hakai, KDB there. This is who I am. I'm a bringer of value. He brought value. At the end of the day, David promoted his son into the noble houses. He said, "There's no other way to repay him but to make him sit with kings." That was how Barzillai's family began to sit with kings. Barzillai the Gileadite, Google him, read him in the book of Second Samuel, in the book of Chronicles. It's there. You must understand the value. When you bring value, you then find purpose. Purpose is absolutely fulfilled, totally fulfilled. When you bring value, you must. Don't forget the three things I told you to do. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Find purpose. Speak to purpose. Then use purpose to create value. When you do these things, I'm telling you, your joy is full. It's time to give our offering. Today is the final day. I've been in your ears. I've meditated, I've prayed, I've been in your ears day in, day out. For 26 days. Today is the last day. And today, I'm blessing you with a future that is bright. With a future that is bright. In whatever nation you may be, in whatever nation, you will discover purpose, you will activate purpose, and you will create value. The supply will come by the power of the Holy Spirit. The offering you are giving today again is going to the poor. Today we paid out all our widows. Glory to God. And I saw Sister Yabo's message. I said, "Oh, okay. The money we've gathered, I sent to her so that we could meet the needs of all the widows that we pay every month." This is what we use the money for. But the impartation for this service is for the fulfillment of purpose. So as you give, open up your heart, pray in the spirit as you give. This is the word of the Lord to you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, within the next few hours, your purpose shall be clear. Now, as soon as the purpose comes to you, value, resources shall be added to it. Supply shall come for it. Yeah. The purpose shall be great and it shall be definitive. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare it that in the country where you are, within a short time, the value you create will make you sit in places of decision making. You will not, you would suddenly come out. If you are a migrant, you will suddenly be one of those whose children will sit in the lofty place with kings. You will also sit in lofty place with kings. In the country where you are, your purpose and value you create will bring you into a place of prominence and purpose. You will catapult from ordinariness into nobility. This is the purpose of God for you. This is why we need you to do this thing so that, like Nehemiah, like Daniel, you can influence policy. You can change the course of events. You can change the direction of events for nations, for individuals, and your joy will be full. In the name of Jesus, this is the impartation. For the past 30 days or 20 something days, we've been praying. Therefore, as you enter into the month of March, this is the word of God for you. You enter with a race towards fulfillment of purpose. Nothing will hinder you, nothing will stop you. Nothing will stand against you. You shall fulfill purpose. As you are going straight into it. You are turning around situations within a short time. The kings of the earth will hear of the glory of God in your life, and they will come to see. They will come to watch you, manifest the fullness of God. Your hand will not be empty. Your destiny will not be empty. You will fulfill it, and your joy will be full. Thank you, Father, for all things are set for your children. Thank you because we've done all these things. We've learned a lot, and we are growing a lot, and we are doing much more. We are expanding. Thank you, Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, glory!
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 Glory to God!